Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, February 23rd, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. And how are you, John?
I'm very good. I have my Spock ears on. Oh, wait, those are headphones. Never mind.
If you're wearing Spock ear headphones, you win today.
Yeah, I'll have to figure out how to integrate those on the internet.
Once you figure it out, do a Kickstarter because you will sell the crap out of those things.
Oh, yeah, I think I would.
Yeah, Rod, well, talk to Rod because, you know, licensing and all.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And that other awesome voice you just heard, that's Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, man.
Awesome. I'm glad to have both of you here. And once again, we have plenty to talk about. It's as if Apple and the FBI are just dumping stories in our lap to make our jobs easier. So
has been just like this nonstop circus. Seems like as soon as one article is written or one podcast recorded, there is a new development that needs to be covered.
I know. Yeah. It's just, it really is kind of crazy to watch this whole thing unfold. And for those of you that may not be up to date, what we're talking about is the case where the FBI got a court order to compel Apple to create a new version of iOS that allows the FBI to work around the passcode restrictions that are in place right now, meaning
a brute force attack.
Yeah, it enables a brute force attack. And Apple is saying, nope, this is uncool. This is really bad. We are not going down this path. And the FBI is like, oh, hey, it's not that big of a deal. And it's all good and hugs. And Brian, you wrote a piece last night where you looked into the public letter that FBI Director James Comey wrote. And before you dive into that, I just have to say, I was stunned to see this letter. You want to talk about something that's unprecedented. You just don't see the FBI writing public letters like this about cases, hardly ever.
I think they saw Apple getting out in front on the PR game and had to match that.
Yeah, maybe. So Brian, fill us in.
Well, let's see here. He did write this open letter. It was originally published at the Lawfare blog. Is that right?
I believe it's Lawfare.
Lawfare, yeah. I always want to call it Warfare, which is funny.
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
I don't have a problem with him writing an open letter about this. I mean, this is an issue that needs to be discussed and understood by the public. And
sure,
that includes educating the public. And I don't have a problem with him doing that. I do have a lot of problems with the content of the letter because a lot of it is disingenuous and other parts are hypocritical and parts of it are just factually wrong. Is that the polite way to call someone a liar these days?
I think that was the most polite way you possibly could say that.
So he says, for instance, the very first line, the San Bernardino litigation isn't about trying to set a precedent or send any kind of message.
Except that it will.
Except that it will. It will set a precedent, and it is about sending a message. And the FBI and James Comey want backdoor access. They think that the country would be better served if law enforcement had backdoors into encrypted communications. It's not because they're bad people. It's because they don't understand the issues. You can't have a back door and have encrypted communications.
Now, I'm going to drop a bit of clarification in here. What the FBI is asking for isn't technically a back door. but it certainly is a big step in that direction. What they're asking for is Apple just to remove some safeguards so that they can do a brute force attack.
Well, that's a kind of backdoor, I think.
All right.
I mean, it's a backdoor that.
Well, isn't a backdoor something that's considered in place while the person's using it? You can access the phone as opposed to laboratory forensics where you attack the phone in isolation.
I
think of a backdoor as something that's installed in the phone so that it can be accessed anytime, anywhere, any place while it's in use.
Here's the
Am I wrong on that?
Yes, I believe you are. But here's the Wikipedia definition. A backdoor is a method often secret of bypassing normal authentication in a product, computer system, crypto system, or algorithm. Backdoors are often used for securing unauthorized remote access to a computer or obtaining access to plain text and cryptographic systems.
So, in a manner of speaking, this would qualify as a backdoor.
Yeah, it's bypassing normal authentication in a product, certainly. One way or another, once this tool, if Apple ends up being forced to create this tool and it exists, it's going to be used over and over and over again. And each time that it's used, there's a chance for something to go amiss and for this to end up escaping into the wild. As Tim Cook pointed out, that even knowing that it does exist is going to give the criminal hackers and the foreign agents a target, something to shoot for. I mean, these are well understood principles by the encryption community, and yet James Comey
says that's just not so.
He's insisting that he's just wrong.
Well, the part of his argument is that Apple gets to keep the tools that they will be compelled to create, or I guess it would be more fair to say may be compelled to create, because Apple is fighting this, and that Apple can destroy these tools after the fact.
Except for them, they'll just be ordered to create them again.
Right, and you can't destroy them after the fact, because...
You can, but then they will just be ordered to recreate them again.
Well, I am going to disagree with you, because if Apple destroys them, they have destroyed the tools that they use to collect evidence for the FBI. And if that leads to prosecution, then the defense want those tools so that they can analyze them and make sure that the evidence collected is legit and accurate. So Apple can't destroy these tools.
What a can of worms that turns out to be.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, and it's kind of scary because the FBI has to know this. So
of course James Comey knows this. The man was an attorney.
Right.
He wasn't a cop. He was an attorney.
Right.
And of course, you know, that's part of what makes me so mad about this. And then he says things like this particular legal issue is quite narrow, you know. Except that it's not. I guess he's right.
Well, if you look at it from the aspect of they want to gain access to one specific phone in one specific case, you could say that this is narrow focused. But if you look at it from the aspect of setting a precedent, no, this is very broad and wide reaching. And this has implications for more than just Apple. This is a case that sets precedent for any company that's creating a product that includes some form of encryption.
Yeah. The end result, if this is successful, is that we, the people, will not be protected by encryption in our normal systems unless we go to the same third party encrypted platforms that the terrorists and the criminal organizations will go to.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is if privacy and encryption are outlawed, only outlaws will have privacy and encryption.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. John Keat is working on a piece that makes this very point.
The way I look at it is whether the people are going to grant the government the absolute right, or whether the people are going to say the government, for the good of the people and our safety and our will, is going to grant the government limited rights. But the government seems to be looking at it in the fashion that we always have the absolute right to do what we want to do in this case in the name of protecting you. And the people have to weigh in and say, we consider the balance to be in our favor. And that's why there has to be this public discussion. It sort of reminds me of the olden days when people were put in a jail until they paid their debts. There's an absolute right to imprison somebody.
Those days aren't all that olden anymore, John.
That's true.
It's coming back. Yeah. But if reality would comport with the FBI's desires here, I wouldn't have a problem with it. If folks could, if we could have a system where a lawfully served warrant would result in access to a lawfully obtained and served warrant could result in access to encrypted communications, yet those encrypted communications somehow remain immune to penetration from the bad guys out there, I'd be all for it.
Well, that's what Hillary Clinton said the other day. She took a middle ground. Of course, she's a politician, but she did make a valuable point, and that was these two sides are at war with each other. And as you said, Brian, maybe we should be working on using our intelligence and our technology to figure out a middle ground where both sides are served.
Well, that's not what I said.
But that's what I'm saying.
Well, you said that. Anyway, you were putting those words in my mouth, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do that. Well, I put my words in my mouth. Eventually, after this dust clears, people are going to start thinking about, instead of either war, people are going to start thinking about how do we solve this problem and make both sides happy.
Well, but the problem is there isn't where we need
to
get. John.
Well, I think there has to be. I think, the American way is to use our intelligence and our experience and our industry and our technology and our science to figure out solutions that can serve both sides.
The brainiacs have been working on this for decades. Yeah, and this includes the NSA, which has most of the brainiacs.
Well, don't take me wrong. Until we find a way to do this right, the encryption has to remain in place. As General Hayden pointed out, this is perilous. We can't let the cat out of the bag and open Pandora's box until we figured out how to do it right. And so we haven't figured out how to do that yet. So we have to err on the side of the safety, security, and privacy of the citizenry. And if there are lawbreakers who take advantage of that, then we have to deal with the lawbreakers in appropriate ways.
It's kind of ironic because I saw a quote online last night that's attributed to Anton Scalia. And he said at one point that we must maintain privacy, even if that insulates some criminals from prosecution.
That's been a judicial viewpoint pervasive in American history.
Yes. Yeah, except right now, it seems that there's a lot of people that don't want that. Well, this isn't the only time this has happened, and certainly this isn't the only country in the history of mankind where privacy has been threatened on a fundamental level. Yeah. Now, Brian, one of the points that Director Comey brought up in his argument, in his open letter, was that this really is a one-off thing and that we don't need to worry about a precedent being set. And I find that to be quite
That's
surprising.
A lie. Yeah. It's just an outright lie. And it's a knowing lie. I'm so so disgusted by that. And I know that you're trying to move us on to another point, but I should finish that aspect of it up too, is that he was playing Think About the Victims. He played that card repeatedly in this open letter, and he said it's about the victims and justice. 14 people were slaughtered, and many more had their lives and bodies ruined. This has been a tool of politicians wanting to erode our rights forever, for all of the times. And it is absolutely disgusting to hold up the pain and suffering of the people who suffered in this attack as the reason to fundamentally reduce our privacy and security from the rest of the world.
Well, I saw a headline, Brian, said a mom who lost a son in San Bernardino sided with Apple. So when Comey says think about the victims, think about that mom who has a great perspective.
Well, which is true. One of the survivors did, in fact, say that that Apple's got the right of this. But there is an attorney representing several of the other survivors who is not on that side. Who actually, you know, is being used to.
Well, you wouldn't expect it to be universal, but the fact that there is difference of opinion is important.
It is. It's true, yes. Especially when James Comey is trying to hold them up as the reason why we should do that. So I hope folks will remember what terrorists did to innocent Americans at a San Bernardino office gathering, and why the FBI must do all we can under the law to investigate it. And it is absolutely disgusting that he would play that card. I cannot express in terms that are anywhere close to strong enough my feelings on this issue.
I was offended, deeply offended by those statements. His, not yours.
Didn't mean to derail you there.
No, that's okay, because it all ties together. It's all part of the same thing. Where I was going is that we now have more information to back up the notion that James Comey was lying about how this court order would ultimately affect everyone else. And no, this is not a one-off thing. We already have the district attorney from Manhattan saying that if the ruling stands, he is planning on filing to get orders to make Apple do the exact same thing in many cases that he's working on. And then we now have news as of today that the Department of Justice has about 12 other cases around the country that they have sitting kind of on hold right now, waiting to see what comes out of this specific case, the San Bernardino case. And if it goes in favor of the FBI, then they're rolling forward with these other cases where they're going to get court orders to get Apple to bypass the passcodes, just like they're doing in this case.
And he knows that.
Of course he knows that. He's part of the Department of Justice.
Yeah, so for him to say otherwise is just infuriating.
Yeah, it's even or the – no, how do I want to say this? The salt in the wound to go along with this case is that it feels to me as if the FBI at this point is using the case and is using the victims – and manipulating the case to get something that they want, which is a precedent. And I think that's just horrible to do this to all of these people. And the wounds that still haven't healed, both physical and mental, for many people, are just being ripped apart by all of this. And just what a horrible, horrible, insensitive thing to do to people.
Well, to be fair, they didn't start off doing that.
That's right? True.
This case wasn't filed on the pain and suffering of the survivors and the victims of this attack. This is something that's only come out as the public relations campaign for both sides has heated up, and I do feel like this is something that we need to be talking about. I don't have a problem with the FBI, with Mr. Comey, with the DOJ, with the White House, with Apple, with Google, with all of the other parties who have a stake in it. And as a matter of fact, I would like more people to be speaking out. I'd like to see privacy advocates releasing information. I'd like to see encryption people releasing information. I'd like to see General Hayden speaking out more on this sort of thing. You know, we need to have people talking about it. We covered yesterday the Pew poll.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to mention it. So run with it, Brian.
Pew Research, a reputable organization, did a little survey of 1,000 people across the country, half of them with cell phones, half of them without, asking a question. Unfortunately, they asked the wrong question. But the question they asked was, should Apple unlock a terror suspect's iPhone? And 51% of respondents said, yes, Apple should unlock this iPhone. And 38% said that Apple should not unlock the iPhone, which I find fascinating that it was even that close.
Mm-hmm.
Because that question makes it pretty cut and dry. Of course, Apple should unlock this iPhone. But that's not what Apple's being asked to do.
Right.
And Apple can't unlock the iPhone. What Apple, you know, as we've already discussed, what Apple can do is create a new version of the operating system that bypasses the security protocols that are in place. And, you know, therefore opening us up to all to less secure communications. And I'm disappointed in the Pew Research Center asking the wrong question, but I was surprised that the results were as close as they were.
Yeah, that felt like a very loaded question, a very weighted question.
And it's the wrong question.
Yeah, it's the wrong question. And even still, with them asking that question in that way, they still had a very divided group.
Yeah, and we will have other surveys and polls taken on this topic. I mean, this is an issue that is bigger than the echo chamber. It's being discussed in the mainstream media. It's being discussed in lots of different places. And I'm going to be interested to see how public opinion shapes, especially if we get more information out there.
Yes. And considering how quickly this whole thing is changing, because it's like throughout the day, every single day, there's more information coming out that's changing perspectives on the case all the time. It's amazing how quickly information is coming out about this.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. And so even though I would love to keep talking, we'll just have to wrap it up for now. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Yep, thanks for having us.
And John, thank you for being here.
You're very welcome.
It's always great to get both of your perspectives. Listeners, thank you for joining us. And if you have comments or perspectives that you would like to share about Apple and the FBI and this whole San Bernardino case, let me know. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com. You can hit me up on Twitter. That would be @TMODaily. And of course, you can always leave comments in the show notes. I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys think. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.